For those of us who've been journeying in the last couple of weeks, I've been continuing a series of sermons on our newly collectively approved mission statement and core values. The last couple of weeks, we've been focusing on the first part of our mission statement, to make disciples of Jesus Christ. And in the last couple of weeks, we've been discussing what the Bible says about what it means to be a disciple. What is a disciple looks like? And why are we called to make disciples? And how can we embody a disciple, an authentic disciple of Christ? And last week, we talked about an authentic disciple as opposed to an authentic disciple. So this morning, our topic, and this is how God lays in my heart, our topic this morning is about suffering. And it's not a subject that perhaps some of us may not enjoy talking about, but it's important. It's important for us as followers, as disciples of Christ, to understand what the Bible has to say about suffering and how we should deal with suffering. Our focus today invites us to Romans chapter 8, a scripture passage that addresses some of life's most challenging realities. The pain of our present suffering, the joyous hope of future glory, and the transformative power of the Holy Spirit. And so I hope and pray that as we hear the word of God this morning, that it will be relevant to us, that God will speak to us in a clear and concise way, especially as we deal with our ongoing pain and suffering, and strengthen our discipleship walk with the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for bringing us here this morning. Thank you as we intersect our lives in this holy ground. I pray, Lord, that you will prepare our hearts and mind as we hear your word. And please, Lord, remove me from the equation. May you be the one that will speak to us this morning. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If there is an important fact that we need to lay out here when we talk about suffering, is that all of us suffer. Regardless of our circumstances, each of us has experienced pain. Each of us experienced loss. Each of us experienced hardships. It is part of our human condition, a consequence of our fallen world that we live in, that we inherited way back from the book of Genesis. Whether you are Christian or not, whether you are a disciple or not, whether you come to the church regularly or not, it doesn't matter. All of us will experience suffering. If you have not have experienced suffering, then as the saying goes, you will. D.R. Carson put it very succinctly when he said, and I quote, "If you have not suffered, you just haven't lived long enough yet." End of quote. I've been your pastor for more than 2 years now, thanking God, moving in on my third year. And I've been in this ministry for 25 years, thank God. In all those years, I have sat with many of you and many of those that I have served who went through painful and pain-filled experiences. I have been in the hospital bedside when someone has died. I have sat while we prayed and worried through an illness. I have sat with folks and listened to their personal tragedies, personal pains, and personal sorrows. And that has been a great honor and privilege of my life. So what I want to say this morning to you all, that the pain of suffering for all of us is real. We are not to ignore all of this nor dismiss it. That's why we need to listen this morning to God's voice and to always seek the Holy Spirit in the face of sufferings. You know, lately we experience this individually, but, you know, the stories that we hear from the news, especially from Texas, all the flash floods and the children that died there in a campsite, still in our memories. So that's the first thing that the Lord wants us to call our attention this morning, that we all face sufferings. But the second biblical principle that I want to share this morning is that our faith in Jesus Christ does not exempt us from suffering. There's commonly misguided assumption that if we believe in God and try to be a good person, then God will take care of me and bless me and nothing bad will happen to me. Have we all been there, church? Have we been in that situation before, wherein we have this kind of assumption that shield us, and somehow we have this mindset that if we just be good people, be able to come to church, and that will, all of our problems will be taken care of. And then every time something bad happened in our lives, we left wondering if we were being punished by God because we have been bad, or simply we did not have faith in God. Or maybe there was really no God at all. That's another bad assumption. And I'm sure that at some point we have wrestled with our faith in dealing with suffering. But here's the truth of the matter. The Bible does not promise those who believe and do good that they will not suffer. In fact, the Bible is full of stories about people who refuse to let go of their faith in the face of suffering. Take Joseph, the son of Jacob, for example, who was sold into slavery by his brothers. Moses, who follows God, and yet so miserable at times that he prays to God to kill him. And what about Job? How many of you learn about the life of Job? He was a good man. He followed God, and yet he suffered terribly. And in the midst of those sufferings that he faced, he refuses to give up his faith. And Apostle Paul, the one who wrote our text this morning, he was imprisoned, he was beaten, he was stoned, he was flogged, he was shipwrecked. He was left night and day floating up in the open sea. He'd been chased by bandits. He battled all temptations and anxieties in life. And yet, he was one of the most biggest defender of faith. And the most important person at all is Jesus himself, who was mocked, who was beaten, who was crucified on the worst form of death on the cross. And all the rest of his disciples were put to death for their faith. In other words, our faith in Jesus Christ does not exempt us from suffering. Disciples of Christ, in fact, face more sufferings than we ever imagined. In Romans chapter 8, verse 18, Paul acknowledges the reality of these present sufferings. And I want you to notice this. He used the language present sufferings there. Sufferings of this present time. That's the exact word he used. And there's something about the present time that makes it a time of suffering. Perhaps Paul is trying to say that I am with you in what's ever going on with you right now. In whatever present sufferings that you have right now, I'm with you. I don't dismiss them. I acknowledge them. because we are living in a world that is subjected to frustration and decay. And we see this in natural disasters that ravages our planet. We see this in the diseases that afflict our bodies, such as COVID-19, cancers, and other diseases. We see this in the injustices that pervades in our societies and in our own personal trials and tribulations that each of us face. There's a saying, bad things happen to good people. Have you heard that before, church? Bad things happen to good people because we live in a fallen world. We experience the effects of the fall of humanity. And one of those effects is injustice and seemingly senseless sufferings. So our faith in Jesus Christ does not shield us at all or exempt us from sufferings. That leads me to the third biblical principle that I want to share this morning. That we are not alone in our suffering. I want you to pay attention on verse 19 in this text that we have just read. Paul here describes creation is, and I quote, waiting with eager longing for something. I think what Paul tried to say here, the creation itself is anxiously longing. Something is not right. Creation itself is longing for the revelation of the children of God. Verse 22 says, creation groans. And there's a deep and painful process here. And Paul here uses the image of a woman in labor, groaning for the baby to be born. The whole creation, he says, has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. This image is very powerful, church, because it speaks about a deep collective longing for relief and restoration of the whole created order. In verse 23, Paul has included all of this created order in it. And he has us as well included. We all groan. As long as we live in these bodies, we groan. As long as we live in these bodies, we are subjected to diseases and death. We are subjected to weaknesses, and we will never be completely free from pain and sorrow, diseases and death. So we groan. In other words, what Paul is trying to say us here is that suffering is not an isolated experience that you experience or he experienced or she experienced. We all have this shared reality of pain. Remember 9/11, the shared experience of pain when that Twin Towers fell. Remember JFK when he was shot. That's a shared collective memories of pain and suffering. When war broke out in Iraq. Those are just a few of those stories of shared reality of sufferings. Because Paul here is trying to say to us that we are part of a larger story. And we called it the cosmic drama in which all of creation is yearning for redemption. And so we are not alone in our suffering. And the final biblical principle that I want to share with you about the topic of suffering is that our present suffering is not the end of the story. Listen again to verse 18. I consider that the sufferings of these present times, and I want you to hear this, are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. Isn't that a wonderful news to hear today, church? See, Paul here isn't downplaying suffering, but rather he's elevating what we should cling to. Paul here is trying to give us a whole new perspective that even though our current suffering might be great, it might be overwhelming for you right now in all of the adversities you're facing, But that is not the end of the story. Because our future glories are going to be there. That no matter the trials we face now, they pale in comparison to the eternal joy that will be revealed to us through the Lordship of Jesus Christ. See, church, bad things may happen to good people in this world, but that is not the end of the story. Christians have an eternal perspective. In other words, suffering is not the final thing. Suffering never has the final word for those who know and believe and follow Christ. Because Christ gives us the hope. He gives us the hope that one day our suffering will be over and we will experience an indescribable glory. That's why we must hold on to hope. But live in the light of what Jesus has done and will do. And because of this, we should walk in obedience with God. Even if what that means our lives are harder, and even if that means we will face trials and tribulations, what is waiting for us in eternity is far greater than what we are going through right now. For one day we will be rewarded, and that reward will be glorious. Amen? Listen to the words and to the promise of verse 28 as I close God's word this morning. I love this text on verse 28. I want you to remember this. We know that all things work together. Can you say that, church? We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God. For the good of those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. Who are called according to His purpose. Friends, I don't know what's going on in your life today. Maybe you're going through a challenging times or feeling heavy with these things weighing in your heart and in your life today. Perhaps lately you encountered unexpected setbacks or disappointments or trials that have shaken your faith and leave you questioning God's plan for your life. In those moments, lean on to the Word of God. Lean on to these words that gives you the hope and the promise that suffering is not the end of the story. We serve a God who is aware that in every circumstance that we face, He will remain to be in control. Even when our circumstance seems to be overwhelming, God is not distant. God is not indifferent to our suffering. Instead, He says here, the Spirit intercedes for us. Even we have wordless groans. The Holy Spirit is intimately involved in your life, in every aspect of your life, whether you recognize that or not. Working everything together for your ultimate good. So here's the promise for us. Regardless of what we face today, financial difficulties, health issues, broken relationships, or any other trials, God's still in control. Amen? God is still in control, and He sees the bigger picture, and His purposes extend far beyond our immediate circumstances. May we hold on to our faith. Lean on to the Word of God today. Hold on to the promise that He will take care of us no matter what. Because our suffering indeed is not the end of the story. We may face the present suffering, but future glory awaits. Let us pray. Oh Lord, life may be overwhelming. Unexpected setbacks and disappointments and trials have shaken our faith and leave us questioning about Your plan for our lives. In those moments, help us, oh Father God, to lean on to Your word today more than ever. That we are not alone in our struggles. That even though our faith does not exempt us from sufferings, the promised Holy Spirit will intercede for us. That our suffering is not the end of the story. For indeed, God is still in control. And He promised us, you promise us that you will give us this future glory that awaits in the coming of your Savior. May we hold on to this promise. May we surrender our lives to you and trust you even more, working all things together for our good, even when we cannot see it now. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.